Please open your Bibles this morning to the book of Daniel, the Old Testament prophet, Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. I hope you realize the stories in the Bible are true. David faced a giant. The three Hebrew children were cast into a fiery furnace. Daniel was cast into a lion's den. Have you ever faced a giant? Ever been in a fiery furnace? Ever found yourself facing the lions? The Bible is full of literal stories, but they are certainly pictures of things that you and I endure in our life, aren't they? And in this passage today, we see the perfect picture of deliverance. And there's so many ways to apply that picture. I could easily apply that picture to our salvation, for example. You and I were sinners. We were condemned by God's unchangeable law. And we were judged and found guilty and sentenced to eternity in a lake of fire called hell. Someone says, "Oh, Pastor, hell's not real." Jesus said it was. In fact, he talked about hell more than he talked about heaven. And you and I were on our way there, and there was no escape. And then, praise the Lord, the Son of God came and died on the cross and took our sins upon him and saved us from that eternity in hell. Not just saved us from that, saved us to be with him and to be co-inheritors with him and to live with him forever and ever. We know that kind of deliverance. But we also know deliverance from situations in life. Facing the giant, perhaps, in a symbolic sense, let's say, or finding yourself in a fiery trial, or finding yourself in an endangered, as Daniel was, in the lion's den. And I'm going to read the passage in a moment, but I want you to, if you underline anything in your Bible, or if you take note of any part of your Bible, look at the end of verse 23. Daniel 6:23, the Bible says, "Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him." And here is the key: because he believed in his God. Faith, we sing the song, is the victory that overcomes the world. Mr. Dahlman just sang a beautiful song about trusting Jesus. The Bible says our faith is counted for righteousness. Do you trust God? The way you find out if you trust God is by having that faith tried. The Bible says the trying of our faith is more precious than silver and gold. And God will let your faith be tested, but not to the point of breaking, to the point of strengthening, amen? I like this story for the characters that are in it. We have a king, and the king has been tricked, and he knows it, and he's angry about that, but he couldn't do a thing about it. He signed a decree that said no one was allowed to pray to anyone except him for 30 days. And the minute that Daniel knew that decree was signed, it changed nothing for him. He still went to his house, he still opened his windows, and he still prayed as he did before. The king was tricked. Daniel was condemned. And the men that plotted against him thought they had won. We're going to see all three of those characters in this passage today and how each of them, what the result is for them. We'll see what happened to the king, and we'll see what happened to Daniel and what happened to those men. And I can ask you, where do you stand? If you stand with the Lord Jesus Christ, if you sincerely trust him, I'm not just talking about trusting for salvation. I'm talking about trusting for daily life. Trusting for the issues and the matters in your life between now and eternity. If you really trust him, you're going to see what a blessing that can be. If you doubt him, I think there's hope. If you oppose him, there's certain judgment for that. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. I'm going to read Daniel chapter 6. I'll begin in verse 18. I'm going to go down to verse 24. We'll have a word of prayer. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. Forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this morning. We see reasons in this passage to see joy at the deliverance of Daniel. We see reasons to see sadness at the suffering of the children and wives of these wicked men. We see the king's response, which we'll read in just a moment, of how he changed his opinion because he saw how God can deliver his people. Lord, I do not want to apply this passage to these folks in a wrong way. I pray you would teach each one here according to your will as to what they need to see in this passage, how they need to apply it. But I do pray that we would learn to trust in you more. I do pray that we would learn not to be anxious, but to be faithful, to be full of faith towards you in any situation. I pray today, if there is a lost soul here, you know each heart, and you know which ones are indwelt by the Lord Jesus Christ and which ones are not indwelt by him. I pray you'd open the eyes of those that are blind, that they could see clearly and that they would find Christ today. And God, we do not deserve to even be able to stand here, but Lord, I pray that you would somehow use us in these next few moments, that the Holy Spirit would be glorified and would be able to work freely, and that Jesus Christ would be honored, and that the cross would be lifted up, and that righteousness would prevail, and that wickedness would be defeated. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'll tell you three things this morning that happen when God delivers, and it begins with some uncertainty. We understand that lions are dangerous, and I talked to you about that last week. And we understand that to be in a dark, enclosed den overnight with them would present someone with a continual danger of being destroyed by those lions. But let's look at the individuals in the story and what happened with each of them. And there are three of them, as I've mentioned. The first one is the king. And that king was an uncomfortable sovereign, is what I'm going to call him, an uncomfortable sovereign. He didn't know what was going to happen. Now, folks, in every situation that you and I face, God knows what's going to happen. And God does not put you in situations to punish you. He may teach you. He may discipline you. I'm not saying he doesn't discipline us, but he puts us in situations so that he can get the glory. That's what happened in this passage ultimately. But it's possible that some of us have been like this king, like this uncomfortable sovereign, and that we have been anxious about what's going to happen. In some situation that you've faced, or in multiple situations in your life, you probably thought to yourself, this one is a bad one. This one could get me. This one might be the one I don't escape. There might be some uncertainty in your life, And I would like to say that I never do worry, but we worry. I've often told you that when you worry, it's a little indicator God's given you, a little signal in your life. That's something you need to pray about. I was moved this past week to learn that a good friend of mine from many years past, named Rick Lee, a man who worked with us in our youth group in Salt Lake City, stepped into eternity last Tuesday at the age of 51 as a result of cancer. And the interesting story behind that is when he was born, Mr. Lee was born with a heart defect, and his doctors told him he would not live to be 30 years old. They told the parents that he wouldn't live to be 30. His heart was defective, and it would not function properly. And then when he worked with me in the youth group in Salt Lake City, which was over 20 years ago, so he would have been in his late 20s at the time, he got married. And I thought to myself that young lady that married him must have understood he wasn't expected to live 10 more years. But he did. In fact, he lived about twice as long as he thought he might live. And he's the one, if you've heard me tell this story, he went in for heart surgery, and they took him into the surgical room there in Salt Lake City, and they, of course, they put him to sleep, and they were doing a procedure to where they were going to put a mesh tube inside one of the arteries in his heart to open it up. And the doctor, as he was moving the tube through the vein on the way to that artery in his heart, the tube got caught somewhere, I don't know where, in his body. And the doctor worked on it and worked on it, and it ultimately it turned crosswise. So the vein goes this way and the tube's this way. And they tried and tried and tried, and they couldn't figure out what to do. And they literally got on the phone and called a fellow in Houston who's an authority in the subject and said, "What do we do?" And the fellow said, "Leave it." So they sewed him up, whatever they do, and woke him up. And that was 20-some-odd years ago. He did just fine. He did ultimately die of cancer. And I thought to myself, I'm sad to see his daughters who are now, I guess, they're going to be in their late teens, don't you think, Deborah? Yeah, 20 maybe, that their dad is gone, and that would be sad. And I know his wife's grieving and his in-laws and so on, some good friends of mine in that group. But folks, he's with the Lord. And God saw the time he needed to spend on this earth, and I kind of like to think that maybe he had learned what he needed to learn. It's time to move on. We're all going to move on. You're either going to move on with the presence of Christ into his eternal presence, or you're going to move on without him to a place called hell. Everyone's going to move on at some point in time. The uncomfortable sovereign, the king, the one that was tricked, look at what he's thinking in verse 18. It says, he went to his palace. He passed the night fasting. In other words, he didn't eat. He wasn't hungry. He didn't ask for entertainment. They didn't bring instruments of music. He couldn't sleep. He got up early in verse 19, and he went in haste unto the den of lions. The king knew what God could do, but he didn't trust what God would do. You ever find yourself in that position? So I know God can deliver me, but I wonder if he will. You know what you forgot? God loves you. Here's what amazes me. This is an amazing thing. Never in the history of mankind has anyone come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation and been told no. Never has anybody ever, in spite of their sin, and there have been some pretty wicked sins out there. I won't name names. You probably heard the stories, but we'll go around those for the time. But some people who have been murderers, and they came to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know the Bible says, he promised, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast him out. Right, wow, that makes me tingle just to think about that. If you've not come to him for salvation, he'll save you if you'll ask him to. Not because you deserve it, you don't. Because he loves you. He loves you so much. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Nobody will be cast out if they'll believe on him. And that picture is here. But the king is, he's worried. He's not sure what's going to happen. And folks, I don't know what's going to happen in every situation, but I do know this. God knows what's best. God knew it was best to take my friend Rick Lee to eternity last week. And in that, there's victory. He's with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not suffering from cancer anymore. And his family can be comforted by the God of all comfort who promises to comfort us. And his daughters who are saved, I saw something that they had written about him, and they said they were glad to know he's no longer in pain, and they rejoice that they will be with him again one day. And we sang the song this morning, there'll be no more goodbyes in heaven. There'll be no more suffering, no more separation, no more sin. An uncertain sovereign, what's going to happen? Have you ever found yourself asking, what's going to happen? Well, you don't have to be that way. Because the second thing we're going to see is an unharmed saint. We go to verse 22. I got to read verse 21. So the king rushes to the den early in the morning, and he says in verse 20, he says, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? I guess he hadn't seen Daniel yet. Because honestly, if Daniel had been eaten by the lions, he wouldn't have been there anymore. Maybe it was dark. Maybe the king hadn't quite gotten there when he began to speak. What did he expect to hear? It's almost as if he's hopeful. Daniel, can you hear me? Yeah, he can hear just fine. I know how the king felt all night because the Bible tells us. The Bible is quite silent about how Daniel felt, but not about what he thought. Because, folks, Daniel believed in God. I am absolutely certain about what I'm about to say, and that's this. If you find yourself in a situation where you are endangered, whether it might be endangered financially, endangered from a family situation, endangered from other people, endangered in a health situation, or whatever it might be, if you find yourself in a situation where you are endangered because you chose to serve God, because you chose to do right, and you find yourself in danger, folks, God can deliver you. And I like it. Daniel, as he begins to speak in verse 21, it's that same old phrase that they would use when they would address the king. He says, oh, king, live forever. Just like another day. And then he says in verse 22, now look at this, my God. Not a God, not the God, not someone else's God, my God. Who's your God? Can your God deliver you? If you have the right God, he can. You know what's sad? Some people have other gods. Some people have the wrong gods. Some people have many gods. Maybe God's one of them, and then other things are their gods. Who's your God? Can you say to somebody, my God delivered me? Amen? He says, my God, in verse 22, hath sent his angel. That is interesting. There are times in the Bible when the Lord Jesus Christ appears. In the Old Testament, we have theophanies and Christophanies, and I forget which is which, but in the Old Testament, when the Lord Jesus Christ appears, there are special occasions. I don't think this is necessarily one of them. It could have been. But an angel, it just takes one, can stop those lions. Some people have talked about guardian angels. I do think there's some scriptural basis for that. It doesn't really matter how God protects us, but don't you know, as the Bible says, even a sparrow doesn't fall that God doesn't see it. The number of the hairs on your head are numbered. You want to talk about an unimportant fact. How trivial is that? How much hair is on everybody's head? As if it made any difference. Some of us don't have to worry about that, Mr. Gonzalez. Zero is a small number, right? But others, if God knows little things like that, don't you think God knows what's going on in your life? He says, my God hath sent his angel. However God protects you, I'm not worried about. But Daniel said, maybe he saw that angel, I don't know. He said, and hath shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me. They have not hurt me. They have not hurt me. Daniel was not hurt. There have been some times when some saints of God were hurt. Paul was beaten several times. He was stoned, left for dead. If God chooses to allow you to suffer to glorify him, that's okay. But God's perfectly willing and perfectly able to keep you from hurt. And you know, it might be one thing to be hurt in this life. Maybe some people hated you. Maybe some situations were less than you desired. But do you know where there will never, ever, ever be any hurt in your life? And that is when you step into eternity with Christ. No hurt for all eternity. He says, they have not hurt me. For as much as before him. Now you've got to ask yourself real quick, and it's an easy answer, I think. Who is him? Him is God. Before him, innocency was found in me. Now, that might worry you. You might say, well, Pastor, I'm guilty. I've sinned. I've done wrong things. I just want to remind you of a couple of things. One of them is this. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. He took all of your sins upon him on that cross. He took your sin and gave you his righteousness. You'll read in places like 1 John where the Bible describes us as being sinless. It's not that we never committed the sin. It's that it's never charged to our account. It's charged to his account. You say, Pastor, I knew a fellow, he was very adamant about this. He said, I don't deserve to be saved. Well, join the club. Because nobody does. But God saved us because he loved us. Jesus didn't deserve to go to the cross. Oh, he did not deserve that. But he was willing to take our sins upon him and go there so that we could be saved. So he goes on here. He says, innocency was found in me. Because you see, he knew his sins had been taken care of. But even better than that, he says, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. He says, nothing that I did hurt you. It wasn't meant to hurt you. The king knows. Folks, we ought to be right with people, amen? You ought to be right with people. And if you can make it right with people, please do so. Daniel says, I was innocent, and God has made me so, and I have behaved so. An unharmed saint. I'll read verse 23 at the end again. No manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. Then we've got the king's anxiety has been resolved. Daniel's endangered situation has been resolved. Now who are we going to look at? What about those fellows that thought they got away with something? What about those fellows that didn't care what God thought? What about those fellows that lied to the king and said, all of us got together and decided nobody should pray? They didn't get together with Daniel. What about these fellows that have decided that their will is more important than God's will and that their plan to destroy God's saint, they thought was foolproof, has failed now? You saw the uncomfortable sovereign. You saw the unharmed saint. Now we have unexpected suffering. You see, to put it plainly, nobody expects to die and go to hell. If you knew what hell was like, if you could just in the most infinite little experience realize how horrible hell is, nobody would ever be unsaved. No one would take a chance at that. Some I've heard people come to church and they'll say, well, I'll do that later. I'll get saved later. I don't want to get saved today. I hope you have a later. I've heard the evangelist often say, and I agree with them completely, that there are people in hell that were waiting for later. They knew the truth, but they did not want to get saved that day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Unexpected suffering. They didn't expect this end. They didn't expect to find themselves where they put Daniel. And they deserved it, but it's not a happy situation. It's not where you say, well, they got what they deserved. Maybe they did, but look at the story in verse 24. They cast them into the den of lions, but it doesn't stop there. Them, their children, and their wives, the whole family. I say, why would that happen? To teach you and I something. Our sin has an effect on our family. Our righteousness has an effect on our family. I meet people and they have no interest in coming to church. And I'm talking to them, trying to get them to listen, to maybe hear the gospel and accept Christ, or to take time out of their life, which is not their life at all, and give it to God on Sunday and live for God. And I'm talking to someone like that, and I'm looking around, and there's a child playing in the yard. And I know something. If they won't pay attention to God, that child might not either. What's interesting is a lot of the time it works the other way around. We can reach the children and then the parents get saved. But folks, this is sad. You wouldn't wish your worst enemy to go to hell. And in this day, this unexpected suffering extends not just to these men, but to their wives and their children. And the lions had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. And you don't want to see that. God didn't get any more graphic than that. You don't want to think about that. That unexpected suffering is the fate that awaits anyone that rejects Christ. So now there's one more thing, and we've got just enough time to have cake at noon, so give me 5 minutes. There's one more thing that's exciting. The uncomfortable sovereign, the unharmed saint, the unexpected suffering is followed by an uncompromising statement in verse 25. King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. It's a pretty strong statement. That king couldn't have made that statement unless he had seen Daniel delivered from the lion's den. Daniel couldn't have been delivered from the lion's den unless Daniel had been cast into the lion's den, and he wouldn't have been cast into that den if he had not prayed even when it was forbidden. In other words, it all goes back to a day when Daniel said, I'm going to do what's right in spite of the cost. Are you willing to say that? I'm going to do what's right in spite of the cost. I'm going to pray even when my life is in danger. And the dominoes begin to fall, and the last one is when the king stands up and says, now I can see who God really is. Because Daniel had a God. Why would God let you and I go through a lion's den, a fiery furnace, face a giant, so that somebody else can see how big our God is? Amen? So who's going to sign up for lion's den duty? God knows. The book of Daniel transitions after this, and it's going to be a challenge. I'm not sure how far I'll get with you, but we'll see what we get away with, and the Lord blesses us. The next chapters are Daniel's visions. Wow. Amazing things he saw that God showed him. Now, remember, he's already in his 90s here in chapter 6. And at the end of his life, God opened his eyes to things that no one else had ever seen. It's a good thing Daniel was faithful, isn't it? It's a good thing Daniel believed in the Lord. What could God do with you and I in our later life if we just keep being faithful to him? Amen? Now, which one are you today? Are you the uncomfortable, anxious about the future? It's easy for me to say, but trust in God. Not just what he can do, trust in what he will do. Perhaps you are the unharmed saint. You've been through some things. Be sure you do what Daniel did. Give God the glory, amen? Daniel said it very plainly. He said, God has sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth. Has nothing to do with me, he said, except two things. I'm innocent, and I didn't hurt you. Maybe, perhaps, today you're in danger of being that one who experiences the unexpected suffering. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, I know if you knew how bad hell was, you'd get saved today. But I learned something that's kind of sad. If people don't believe in hell, they don't really believe in heaven either, or vice versa. I can still remember, it just sticks in my mind. I'm knocking doors in Salt Lake City and went to a duplex, and this fellow was in the downstairs. It was a sunken living room, and I stuck my head around the corner, and he said to me, prove to me the Bible's true, he said. Prove to me there's a heaven. Prove to me there's a hell. Folks, if you don't believe the Word of God, I'm not sure how I can do anything for you. And someday he'll realize heaven and hell are real. But live a life so that somebody can see you have a God. Amen? And please don't walk around with that woe is me, life is horrible, oh no, what's next attitude on your face and in your voice and in your speech and in your actions. That doesn't show folks you have a God. You know, maybe we should have a rule around here. If someone says, how are you doing? Just say, I have a God. That's all you need to know, isn't it? And I believe in him. I'm doing just fine. What about the lion's den? God's got an angel. What about the fiery furnace? He'll be in there with me. Live a life so that somebody else can see. Instead of you being the one that's constantly anxious, what's going to happen next? Just tell him, I have a God. And he controls what happens next. Amen? And stop this worrying. And I realize you may have to ask the Lord to do some work in your life to get you there, but he got Daniel there. Amen? And one last time before we pray, if you do not know that Christ lives in your heart, if you cannot give me Bible evidence that Christ is your Savior, do not leave this place today without letting someone show you in the Bible how you can know for sure you're saved. You say, Pastor, I've been going to church for years. That is irrelevant. The question is, does Christ live in your heart? The Bible says very clearly that his Spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we are a child of God. Does he do that to you? He will if you'll let him. Let's all stand and pray.